you know, we're the ones that keep it wicked. Rock and roll, all good, mix it up, that's my ticket. Cruising in my Cadillac Escalade.
Good morning and welcome to episode 42 of the Deck Tees podcast. My name is Erin Campbell, brought to you by LegitMTG.com. With me today, I have a very special guest as she dabbles in a side of magic and in gaming in general that I've always been very, very curious about and that has been getting a lot of buzz lately on gaming websites and has been the talk of communities and social networks and things like that. And not only did I want to get to know her, but I kind of wanted to know what all the fuss was about because I've decided that I want to start dabbling in it as well. So here with me to talk about cosplay, I have the gorgeous and talented Sonia B. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I am awake.
Well, that's good.
Yes, I'm awake on a Sunday morning here talking to you, and you are coming directly from the Netherlands, correct?
Exactly.
That is awesome. I'm looking to like capture all of the countries. I had my Scottish guys. I have you coming from the Netherlands. I feel like I need an excuse to have people on just because they're from various countries. Like I want to have Paulo on at some point because he's Brazilian. I could maybe do, I had a Canadian. I did have a Canadian. So.
Oh, okay. Well, you're well on your way then.
I know, right? It's getting to the point where that's the first thing I see, where it's like, I see that they're from a really neat country, and I'm like, come on my show. And they're like, but what are we going to talk about? And it's like, I don't care. Just, you're here. You have a beautiful accent. We'll figure it out along the way. So thank you for coming on.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I actually had first heard you had done the Collective Blessing show with Medina, correct?
Yes, that's right.
That was a lot of fun.
That was.
Yeah. Do you guys have any plans to do more of those? Do you know?
Well, we did. It's a bit of a, because I was in the middle of a move and things were a bit hectic at the moment. Mm-hmm. But we were going to do a second episode. So I hope we get that show on the road pretty soon. Because, you know, it was getting really interesting when we had to cut off because people had to go to bed and I had to go to have my breakfast.
Right. It was interesting. And it got a lot of really positive feedback. And I think the general consensus was that people were really surprised by it in a good way. I know that I went into it kind of hesitant because I tend to be very liberal in my beliefs. And I was really worried that it was going to, you know, eventually venture into the, you know, save the little babies and men should not get married to men. And I'm like, oh, no, please don't do this. And and you guys went nowhere near that, which was awesome. And it was very classy and very thought provoking. And I don't normally classify myself as somebody who's spiritual or religious, but even I got into it. I listened to the whole thing, and I think that's something a lot of people were surprised by, is they were worried it was going to get preachy. And it wasn't even close.
I'm glad to hear that, because that was exactly why we wanted to do the podcast, to show that talks about spirituality can actually be not preachy, right, and be respectful towards each other, mm-hmm, and each other's belief systems. So I'm glad that you and other people were so pleasantly surprised by it. So that's why I really hope that we can pick it up again sometime.
Yeah, I would really, really like that. So on top of that, the main reason I wanted you on the show, Sonia, is because you seem to be very good at cosplay. You seem to know a bit about that. And I am a cosplay neophyte. I know very little about it. I recently decided that I want to take that step and cosplay something, which we'll talk about later in the show. But I want to talk about it. And I've seen a lot of websites talking about it. There's been some buzz about just some changes happening in the community, because there is a cosplaying community. And I kind of wanted to get your opinion on those things. So let's go ahead and get started. So tell me about the first time that you saw a picture or saw a character somewhere and you thought to yourself, I want to be that. I want to make that thing real. Tell me about that moment.
That's a pretty hard question, because I don't actually know which character that was. I know first cosplay character. No.
Tell me about that.
My first cosplay character was Red Sonja.
Okay.
Obviously. But, you know, Red Sonja is... doesn't wear a lot of clothes, like a chainmail bikini, that's it. But, you know, I was walking, I heard of it before, and I actually go to a lot of fantasy festivals and fairs and Renaissance fairs, and I've started out doing historical costumes for these events. And at one point I was walking around and I saw women dressed as Amazons. Mm-hmm. On a festival, I was like, well, that's pretty awesome. I want to do that too. But, you know, I don't just want to be any sort of Amazon. I want to be Red Sonja, because I remembered her from, well, obviously I read a few of the comics, not all of it. I've never been a huge fan of the comics or anything, but I knew the character, I knew who she was because of the name, and was like, you know, I could do that. She's an Amazon. She has my name, so that's a pretty okay starting point. And so I got myself a bunch of chainmail, scale mail, sorry, and started making a scale mail bikini, which was a bitch to do, by the way. That was awful. I spent hours and hours on it, and the blisters were in my hands because of the what you call it, tongs? No, not the tongs. Because of the equipment.
Okay.
You know, and it was awful, but you know, the result was really cool, and that was 5 years ago, I think. But now, when I see the pictures, of which I haven't found a lot, I mean, there were, I think people took about 200 pictures of me mm-hmm. at that festival, and I found only 6 of those. I don't want to know where the rest ended up, but you know, whatever.
It's funny that you say that, because I kind of wanted to refresh my memory. So as you've been talking, I looked up Red Sonja, and you're talking about, you know, how hard you worked on the bikini. And I'm not saying that you didn't, but from what I can see from these pictures, there's not a lot of bikini happening here. Like, there's, I'm just kind of going, where did all that free time go? Because the first thing I see is some cheek, and then I see some side boob, and I'm like, uh-huh. I'm like, that's very interesting, Sonja B.
Yeah, I know. No, the issue in scale mail is, when you've never done that before, try and figure out how it's done. Because mm-hmm. you have the little rings, and you have to attach them in a certain way to other rings, and then you have to attach them to the scales, and then you have to attach the scales together. But the biggest issue, actually, was that if you make a triangle of scale mail, it doesn't actually cover curves very nicely.
Okay.
So when I just finished the front part of the bottom, mm-hmm. I put it on, and my mother just burst into hideous laughter for about 15 minutes until she told me, it looks like you have a dick. Crap. So, you know, then you have to go back and change it. And so the shape is actually more like an arrowhead. I can't quite explain it, but it's not actually a triangle, because when it's a triangle, it folds in on itself.
Right.
And then it looks like you have a bulge.
Right.
So scale mail is quite difficult to turn into a bikini of the kind that she wears.
I love that you have the kind of relationship where you could show your mother that, because I know so many women who can't even like smoke in front of their moms. They don't even want their mothers to know that they're sexually active. And here you are in a Red Sonja outfit, like, hey, mom, thoughts?
Yeah, that's the whole Dutch thing. I was actually pretty surprised by that, because, you know, it's for me, it's a really normal thing. But I guess it's also how I've been raised. I've been raised quite freely. Mm-hmm. So when I do, like, well, the Red Sonja cosplay, she helped me a lot. She it's not that she did the scale mill for me, but at one point I came home and there was this huge tub full of rings that she had opened for me. Mm-hmm. Which was what most time goes into it. You have to open the rings, then you put the scale mill in, then you close it back up. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you did this for me. Oh, that's so cool. Thank you. Now I can just finish it. Thank God. So, you know, but, and then I hear about people who are like, oh no, my mother, well, I'm not telling her I'm cosplaying this character because there's maybe a exposed belly or something. But my mother is actually a really good help in cosplaying, because she's a really good seamstress. Mm-hmm. So whenever I'm stuck on clothing or anything, I just go to her, mom, I need some help.
So I have to ask now, how functional was that outfit? Because again, I'm looking at the pictures and I'm going, okay, so how was it when you wanted to sit down, or how was your range of motion where, you know, were you able to move comfortably? Did you have anything underneath it? Because it looks like it might be a little itchy.
Yeah, I had a I attached it to a bikini.
Okay.
I attached it to a brown bikini.
Okay.
My range of motion, well, it's a bikini, so I had pretty massive amounts of motion range.
Okay.
But sitting down, that was, I had to lift the back flip up.
Okay.
Back flap. I had to lift it up. Then sit down carefully, then lower it, then adjust the front flap, so that it covered all the bits. And then I had to sit extremely still. So needless to say, I didn't actually sit a lot.
Awesome. So you would say that that was the outfit that sort of got you started on this?
Yeah, pretty much.
And
that was when I.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. That was when I found out that it's something you can do. Because before that, I was only making original costumes. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, you know what? This is actually pretty cool too. I'm just gonna. I have the ability now to translate all these and to translate and channel all these characters in real life. So. Mm-hmm. I thought, hey, why the hell not? Let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Now, what was it about the experience that made you want to keep doing it? Was it the reaction that you got from people? Was it the way that you felt in the costume, like you felt very empowered? What was it that made you want to decide that you wanted to do this again and again?
It was a challenge for me to properly translate a piece of art to real life, because mm-hmm. there's actually quite a difficulty. In art, you can do basically anything, any sort of clothing, without restraint. And when you try to translate those pieces of attire to something actually wearable, there's a whole set of challenges right there. Because you can't always literally one-on-one translate the thing that's on the in the art or a video game or whatever to real life. Because some things are just not practical.
Right.
Don't work out. So for me, it was a challenge to get these things going in a way that properly channeled the character and be as accurate as I could be mm-hmm. without getting stranded in meaningless detail. Mm-hmm. Because for me, there's a lot of when you put too much time into the little details, the things sometimes you lose sight of what you were working on. Mm-hmm. And I do kind of feel that you can actually go too far in your accuracy. So I generally focus on just capturing the spirit of the character, mm-hmm. which isn't to say that I'm an advocate of lazy cosplaying, mm-hmm. but you know, there's a whole area of difference between being just tossing on some clothes and calling it a character and actually putting some work into it. Even if you're not completely accurate, you can be a good cosplay.
Mm-hmm. And you bring up a really good point about accuracy, Sonia, because one of the roadblocks to cosplay, and I know I've certainly said this before, is when people say why they're not cosplaying, they're like, well, I'd really, really like to, but I'm a man and this character happens to be a woman. Or you hear a woman say, well, that's a male character. I don't know if I can play that. Or you have people of size, people who might be a little larger, a little healthier, and they're worried about, you know, this character's really thin. How am I going to portray this character? Or even in terms of different ethnicities, you know, you see somebody who might be African-American and they really want to be Sailor Moon. And they're like, but she's white Japanese-ish. And, you know, people are convinced that they can't cosplay because of those barriers. Is that something you think people can overlook and still go for those things? Or do you feel that that does affect the accuracy?
No, I really do feel that if people want to cosplay a character because they love the character, then they should definitely do so. And it doesn't matter if they're the wrong size or if they're the wrong ethnicity. Because in the end, it's about how you feel about the character, and you can channel a character even if they're a different gender than you are. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's much of an issue, because, you know, if you let things like that keep you from doing the things you love, it's, you know, it feels a bit double to me. You really love this character and you really want to cosplay and you're worried about accuracy. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, well, accuracy isn't everything. Mm-hmm. Because it's the spirit of the thing. Because you already have to take into account that some things in the art are just not going to work out
right
all the time. So then why should you be worried about ethnicity? Mm-hmm. So I feel that, yeah, you know, there's not a, it shouldn't be, because I know it's a barrier for people, but it shouldn't be, in my opinion.
I actually tend to enjoy those cosplays more. Like, for example, I was at a comic book convention a couple weeks ago called C2E2 in Chicago, and I was there with my ex-boyfriend, and he has several female friends of his who are really big Doctor Who fans. And they all decided that they were going to play different versions of Doctor Who. So there was the Fifth Doctor, the Sixth Doctor, and they looked amazing. And I have to say that they channeled it so well. And they got together for like group pictures, and they had, you know, six different generations of Doctors together. And I thought they did really well. And that's not to say that there weren't male Doctor Who cosplayers there that weren't doing a good job either, but it was just something unexpected, and it was something where, you know, I don't want to say that I expected it to be bad, but it was pleasantly surprising, you know, because it is one of those things where when you first hear about it, you're like, oh, this could really go either way. I'm not sure I can look. Oh, God. And then they do really well, and you're like, oh, that's hot. You know, that's good stuff, and it's good.
Yeah, I really like to see that too, the differences in how people choose to portray a character, because, you know, even in the very accurate cosplays, you have different techniques and different materials people use, and it's really cool to see how other people, how they tackle the problem, the challenge of portraying that character. And I think that in things such as gender bending and stuff like that, there's a lot of room for, you know, creativity, and that's also what pulls me into cosplaying. It's the creativity you can display into it. And it's like when I went to the Gay Crash pre-release, I went as a modern version of Tessa. So I had a little black dress with a keyhole, you know, boob window thingy.
Can't forget the keyhole.
No, can't forget the keyhole. you know, and a nice jacket, a black jacket, and fancy shoes and stuff like that. And it's not, you know, it's a cosplay in that it channels the character, but in a more modern version. And it's the same as when people cosplay, like you mentioned Doctor Who, when women cosplay the TARDIS. You know, there's a lot of, I saw one dress that was just a blue dress, but when she opened up the skirt, she'd have the interior of the TARDIS painted onto it, you know, bigger on the inside. And there was another girl who had a tutu TARDIS I found somewhere on the net. You know, it's really cool to see the differences in how people portray these characters. Because, you know, there's a lot of creativity, and creativity always makes me very happy.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that makes me really happy about seeing cosplaying is the lack of competition. And what I mean by that is, again, going back to C2E2, and if it is present in the community, I certainly have never seen it. But, you know, typically, especially with women, sometimes we can be a little catty or a little competitive. Mm-hmm. And at the last convention I was at, there were quite a few Harley Quinns there. I don't know why, but Harley Quinn was a big draw. There were a lot of women dressed as her. And I was really expecting it to be sort of, you know, one Harley Quinn is already in the room. Another walks in and it's, this bitch thinks she's Harley Quinn. And no, it was the exact opposite. It was, you know, sister. Like, they got together and they didn't know each other. And they, you know, they obviously did little different spins on it, and it was, I really like your smile, or I really like your helmet, or I really like your shoes. And like I said, I was really expecting it to go in a totally different direction. And and then you would see a third Harley Quinn, and she would walk up, and she had a big old hammer, and she was like, oh my God. And then they were talking about her hammer, and then people would see the three Harley Quinns together, and then that became a photo op. And I really liked that. And then that's something I was really worried about, and that I kind of feared for other cosplayers, was, what do you do when you're dressed up as someone and someone else walks in, you know, what's that like? And for the most part, it seems like everybody's really fine with it, which is great.
Yeah, I think that's mostly a thing of, oh my God, somebody else loves the same character as I do so much that they'd cosplay it. Oh, I'm going over to her and hug her into oblivion, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, and that does seem like it's, I mean, like you said, it's like the spirit, you know, what it really is about is loving the character, and and finding other people who also love the character. That supersedes the, she might look better than me, or I might look better than her. It's not about that. It's about that you both love the character.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which is really cool.
Yeah, and that's what I like about cosplaying, because, you know, even when you're not playing the same character, even if you're different characters from, you know, the same show, it's like, oh, hey, you like the show too? Did you see that part? What do you think of that part? Oh yeah, I totally do. Friends for life, you know? That sort of thing. Because it's all about meeting new people, and that's the awesomest part about it, is that you can exchange tips and tricks, and how did you tackle this particular challenge? Well, I did such and so. Oh, I see. Well, I did this, and that actually didn't work out quite well for me. Oh, well, maybe you should try such and so. You know, it's broadening your horizon also in cosplaying, and I think that competitiveness in a community like that, I think there's always going to be a certain amount of, well, you know, but my legs look better. Mm-hmm. You know, as women go, sometimes when they're in the right mood, they're just like, well, I do like her, and I totally adore that she loves the same character, but I do think that I did this better. I mean, you can't really avoid that because it's kind of human, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it's also, even then, you get to give each other tips mm-hmm. and grow as a cosplayer, mm-hmm. even through that competitiveness, because that can also drive you to do your best, do more, you know, learn and do new things next time and take on a more a bigger project, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. It can be healthy competition. It doesn't have to be negative.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So walk me through, let's go back a little bit to the beginning and even now. So when you're thinking of taking on a project and you're looking at that picture, you're looking at that image, what goes through your mind in terms of planning? Like, I know you had written a post on Legit MTG about your decision to be somebody from Counterflux. I believe that's
yes.
who you wanted to go for.
Yeah.
You know, what makes you, or what gives you the idea that you can do this? Like, tell me what goes through your mind. Like, how do you tear that image apart?
I literally tear it apart. Well, not literally, by taking it apart.
I'm not doing this crap.
No, I look at the first. I look at the costume as a whole, mm-hmm. and I look at it and I think like, oh, I'd like to cosplay that. And then I pull it into its separate components. Mm-hmm. And I look at what are the main things that this costume would exist out of. And in the case of Counterflux, that would have been her clothing, mm-hmm. as in her top and her pants, the device she was carrying, the gloves, and the belt. Mm-hmm. So that's basically breaking it down into the main components, and then you can break the main components further down, like the clothes. There was just the top and the pants, mm-hmm. and the top consisted out of two different things. So how are you going to get those two things together? And when I do that, I write it down, or make a little sketch out of it, usually. I'm not a very good, you know, artist, but I like to sketch my costumes out before I make them, because it helps give you a better idea of how it's going to look. Because, you know, basically in magic art, you're mostly tied to one piece of art,
sure.
which with usually one pose, mm-hmm. not counting planeswalkers and things like that, but mm-hmm. in general, drawing it out gives you a better idea of what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And then when I did that, I start thinking to myself, brainstorming, oh, what can I make this out of, and do I have anything in my wardrobe that could fit, because I have a ridiculously huge wardrobe.
I would imagine.
This weekend, I moved 2 weeks ago, and my wardrobe was, well, basically half of my boxes was my wardrobe. I was like, oh God, this is awful. But, you know, that's because I buy a lot of clothing. When I see them, I think, hey, maybe I can use this for a costume at
sure.
some point in the future. So I go look through my wardrobe, pick out anything that I could use, basic and mostly three quarters of which I put back afterwards because, you know, in the final idea, I can't use it. Mm-hmm. And then I start thinking about the things I need to buy, like fabrics, what kind of fabrics, how much fabric do you need, accessories, like little pouches for belts and stuff like that. And when I did that, I start making a little timetable, what's going to take me the most time. Like in the case of Counterflux, that was the device. Mm-hmm. So that's what I started on first. So then I make a schedule of, now this is what I'm going to do first. And in the meanwhile, while it's drying or what have you, I can do this and then I can do that and then I can go on. And then usually a lot of the process is starting on something, finding out it doesn't work the way you want it to, rip out your hair in frustration, put something else, and go on.
So that's why you wear wigs.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, she's doing it to be part of the care. No, she's just ripped her hair out.
Exactly. wigs are part of it too, yeah.
Has
And you
there,
know,
I'm sorry.
no, it's okay, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, has there ever been a character that you started the process on, or even just in the beginning stages where you really, really wanted to do it, and then you just made that choice of, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. Can you give me an example of something like that?
I wanted to do the boss or the Joy from the Metal Gear Solid series.
Okay, now I have to Google this. Keep talking. I want to see what this is. Okay.
Because Mike and I are my boyfriend and I are very big fans of the game series, and especially of the third installment, Snake Eater. And I think she's a wonderful, wonderful character, really strong. Well, everything about her is just like, oh, I want to cosplay it. But if you see, if you've Googled it by now, you can see that she's wearing a white cameo suit, catsuit sort of idea. And I'm nowhere near talented or, good enough at cosplaying and sewing, etc., to actually pull that off.
Now, is
So,
she the one with the, she's, if I'm looking at this right, she has a white and gray sort of jumpsuit with a big scar down her boobie?
yes, exactly.
Now, interesting, because me being the noob that I am in terms of cosplaying, I would look at this and think, that doesn't look that bad. Like, what am I missing here?
Well, the point is that if you could actually buy a cat suit like that, then it'd be really then it'd be quite easy.
Okay.
But because that's what I do first, I look for the basics. And for the basics, you need a cat suit for her. And to find a white cat suit that's not made of spandex, that's
Ah,
quite hard.
okay.
And I can't make one myself yet. So I'd either have to, waste a lot of fabric in trying to make spandex suits or cat suits, not spandex, because that's why we're not doing it. But then there's, because she has these things down the front of her legs where they're tied together. The cat suit's basically tied together or something. Because I from this picture, I don't get a good idea actually how I would have to go about creating it. There are so many components that mash into one and I can't actually pull it apart properly, if you see what I mean.
I do, yeah.
So that's why she's on the back burner for now. I do want to cosplay her sometime because, again, she's a wonderful character and I really love that. I have a figurine and all that jazz. But until I figure out how I'm going to actually do it, it's on the reserve list.
Okay. Now, are we intimidated at all by the booby situation? Because from what I can see, there's booby. There's not a lot of support for booby. And then there's the big scar across booby. Like, is that something that you think you might struggle with, or are you totally fine with that?
I'm pretty fine with that. Like I said, I cosplay Red Sonja, so
Okay.
I'm not in a position to whine about exposed skin. But my issue is mostly that I don't have as much booby as the boss does.
Okay.
So when I cosplay her, I'd probably just, cover the jumpsuit up.
Okay.
Because, throughout the game, she's only have her chest bared for maybe 2 minutes.
Okay.
So that's, for me, that's not, paramount to the accuracy to go around with my boobs partially uncovered. Also, because I made my boyfriend the promise that I would not expose quite as much skin as Red Sonja did in my cosplaying anymore. Because I personally don't really mind that. But I can accept that he doesn't really like other men ogling at me.
Interesting. Now, so were you single when you did Red Sonja?
No. I had that boyfriend back then.
Oh, was there a little friction there after that happened, or?
Well, not so much. I basically told him, well, I'm doing this whether you like it or not, and he was not happy with it. But when he told me that, I'm not comfortable with this, then I said, well, okay, then I won't do this kind of massive skin exposure anymore in cosplaying if you're not okay with that. Because, boyfriend.
Right. It's interesting because I remember reading an article, and I had sent you the article in the show notes where there are cosplayers that actually there is a trend out there of cosplayers who don't make it known that they're in relationships because they're afraid that they're either going to ruin the fantasy or they don't want to have the character infringe on their personal lives and things like that. Is that something that you can relate to, or you told me a little bit about how your boyfriend impacts what you do. Are there other situations where you've seen a relationship affect the cosplay in other ways?
Well, it's interesting because before you sent me the show notes, I hadn't actually heard of the mm-hmm. secret relationships in the cosplay community before. Mm-hmm. And I can see where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. To me personally, it doesn't really ruin the fantasy mm-hmm. because I feel that if a character a cosplayer is portraying doesn't have a canon relationship, it doesn't matter to me that the cosplayer is in a relationship.
Right.
But, I can see why someone would keep their private lives a secret, because in the article you sent me, it was also about the privacy of the whole deal. Mm-hmm. And I can understand it, but, ruining the fantasy for me, no, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
But, as with anything, if both parties are okay with it, with keeping it a secret in their professional environments, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. Then I don't see why they shouldn't, but I also don't see why they should, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Do you feel, and you had mentioned, your boyfriend and you sort of negotiating, what you could reveal and things like that. It sounds like it takes a very special person to maybe date a cosplayer, because like you said, there are times where you might be scantily clad or there might be people approaching you. And I know some people that wouldn't be comfortable with that, even if their partner was fully clothed or they were going to the office or things like that. So it sounds like it's very important that the two of you communicate throughout the process so that there aren't any hurt feelings or there aren't any insecurities or things like that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's mostly a question of trust,
mm-hmm.
because as with acting, there's actors who, snuggle over the screen with other actors, and they might be married in real life, and I think it boils down to trusting your partner
mm-hmm.
in that they're actually portraying a character and not necessarily portraying their own viewpoints and morals and things like that. And it goes the same way around that a cosplayer should trust their partner
mm-hmm.
that they're okay with it, and that they don't actually that they can discern between the cosplayer and the character they're cosplaying,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I mean.
I do. Was that something that you two had to work through, or was that something that you two had an understanding of very quickly and very early in your relationship?
Well, we actually quite early, mm-hmm. Cause we've been together for 7.5 years.
Wow.
Before I even started, doing the, historical costume thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we had a bit of a hiccup the first 2 months in, cause this is going to sound really sappy, but he's my first boyfriend and I'm his first girlfriend. And,
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's not. But, it kind of sounds like one of those, typical love stories and whatever. It's nothing like that. We curse at each other all the time. But anyway.
That's love right there.
I know, right? Shut the fuck up. It turned out it was a bit because we were doing a role-playing game, and he was one of my side characters had a relationship with a other role player, and he was jealous actually, and I was like, what are you jealous for? My character doesn't, it's not me, so I'm not actually cybering or anything with that guy. I'm just, we're role playing. It's a game,
Yeah.
And it took me 2 hours to get it into his head.
Wow. Because
he's a guy and he's got a thick head.
Yeah.
But after that, gradually better. So now he's perfectly all right though. So we never really had real issues with me cosplaying a certain character and him being, uncomfortable with it. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm also, I also do modeling.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, he just likes to brag with it. He'd come into the game store, and I'd be dressed up for a pre-release or something, and he'd be like, I'm tapping that.
And she's not untapping during her next untap phase.
Exactly.
Or the one after that.
Yeah. So he's like, you can watch, but I'm sleeping with that tonight. That sort of thing. So he's pretty okay with it right now. So that's
I have to say, it does sound like, you know, it sounds like an excuse that could also, and it's not necessarily an excuse, but it sounds like in the wrong hands, though. I could see people being like, you know, doing something they're not supposed to and being like, no, that was the character. That wasn't me. I didn't do anything wrong. And I think if you're of noble intentions, that really is the case. But, you know, at the same time, I could see somebody maybe using that as their scapegoat or their way to justify doing something wrong is going, it wasn't me. It was the character. I didn't cheat on you. The character did. And it's just like, ooh, like
Yeah.
I would hate to see that in the wrong hands.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, I think that's a really personal matter, and I think most cosplayers are generally of the noble kind, so to say. And but yeah, it'll probably happen because you know it's human nature to I think, but sometimes I'm a bit cynical. But yeah, it might happen. But I think as long as you yourself, if you can be honest with yourself that it was in fact a character, because for me, I would not actually kiss a another cosplayer because he was cosplaying the canon relationship of my character, you know? Because I've actually I'm a huge fan of the Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood anime, and I was looking at some cosplaying pictures because I wanted to cosplay Risa Hawkeye, and I was going to through some cosplaying forums for some inspiration, and there was this girl who was well, who was also being a Risa Hawkeye, and she had apparently been going all through the convention kissing every Roy Mustang she came across. And as it turned out, the girl was 14, and most of the guys she was kissing were 18 and over. And she was like, no, this is just a character. And I was like, yeah, but you're 14 and you know these guys are older and you haven't said that you're 14 and you know, I kind of get the feeling that she was vicariously living the whole, you know, the whole relationship, the whole ship. And you know, that sort of thing. I'm like, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, probably she probably didn't have a boyfriend, but you know, it's still, that's the
Questionable.
kind of thing, yeah, questionable, morally questionable, but you know, to each his own.
So speaking of that, there's been a bit of a movement lately that's been gaining some momentum of the cosplay does not equal consent. And there have been some troubling instances in various news websites and just gaming websites of people indicating that, you know, fans are just very unprofessional when they approach them. And specifically in terms of women, where they assume if a woman is wearing, you know, a revealing outfit, that that gives them the right to approach them and hit on them and be, you know, tacky towards them and possibly even a bit, you know, scary or intimidating towards them. How do you feel about this move? And is this something that you've personally experienced while you've been dressed up?
Well, I'm actually surprised it only recently became a thing because to me it's just common sense, you know? I mean, I've had catcalls and that sort of thing even when wearing normal clothes, and you know, it's kind of good for your ego, but if you get closer than that, it's a whole other matter. Because when I was cosplaying Red Sonja, well, whenever I walked anywhere, people would just like stare at me, and well, okay, I could get behind it. I was wearing four pieces of metal, and that was it. Sword. I was wearing a sword, which is important to this story.
I thought you were trying to hide the sword.
Touche. Anyway, I was walking around, and I was walking around with my hand on my sword, channeling Red Sonja, so being really fierce and, you know, looking angry because you know Red Sonja's, well, no man shall sleep with me unless they've bested me in battle, you know, that sort of thing. And then I was just going, looking at the merchandise and looking at pretty new swords and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, I feel someone behind me, and there's a guy maybe, well, 2 inches from my ear. Can I just say that you look really hot? And this was an older 40-year-old guy who had a wedding band around his finger, you know? Totally creepy. And I just turned around and I looked at him and I said, no. With my hand on my sword, really angry, because whenever my fight or flight instincts kick in, it's just fight all the way. And he just backed off and he was like, oh, okay. And then he walked away. So, but you know, that sort of thing. I understood that men, that guy, I shouldn't generalize, I'm sorry for that, that this guy looked at me and was like, oh, that's her, that costume, oh, Jesus, I'm just going to say that she looks really sexy, mm-hmm. which is fine. If you want to come to me and tell me, no, you look gorgeous in that outfit, I love it, I love your body, I'm totally fine with that. But don't, you know, just sneak up on me and breathe into my ear that you think I'm really hot, because that's just creepy. Because mm-hmm. there's two kinds of compliments. There's the compliments you're just like, you know what, girl, you look stunning. And there's like, oh, God, you're hot. You know, there's a different
approach.
There's a different weight behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think it's not necessarily that the movement is just starting. I think it's more that it's been happening for a while. Like you said, I mean, it has been an issue for quite some time. I think it's just that now the cosplayers are really starting to band together and speak up about it and say, you know, we took it for a little while. We thought it was kind of cute, but we're done. Like, we're just not endorsing this anymore. It needs to stop.
So, yeah, that's also what I meant. But, you know, what I meant was that I was surprised that it only... Because the Red Sonja thing, that was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
No, so I was kind of surprised. Oh, okay. Oh, now we're going to really talk about this. Okay, good. Because, you know, I think it's a bit of an issue. It's, you know, it's like common decency.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you go to a convention, of course, when you're cosplaying, you're going there to see and be seen.
Mm-hmm.
In part, at least, mm-hmm. you know, because you've spent a lot of time and effort on your costume and you want people to see it.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly okay. And sure, people will make pictures of it. And that's really cool. But people sometimes forget that there's a real person behind it,
mm-hmm.
that it's not an entertainer. It's also a visitor at the convention.
Because
mm-hmm. you have entertainers who are there all weekend. At least over here in fairs and conventions like that, there's entertainers who get hired to do stuff like this
mm-hmm.
and be in character all weekend. Like, you know, when you go to Disneyland and you see Mickey Mouse, you know, that sort of thing. And a cosplayer usually, or most of the time, is somebody who goes to that convention, pay to get in, and also is there to have fun and not constantly be accosted by people who just want to touch them or do stuff, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's something people forget about, because even the last convention I was at, I remember there was a guy that was dressed up as Bane, and he looked amazing. He had he was more of the Dark Knight Rises Bane, and mm-hmm. he was pretty spot on. And I remember I was like, Bane! Bane. And I mean, I wasn't yelling like a lunatic, but I definitely was trying to call his name or whatever. And he totally just walked past me. And there was a little part of me that was like, huh. And I remember the person I was with was like, bitch, like, what is he doing, jerk? And I was just like, and you know, the reason why I didn't go there was because I kind of thought about what you just said of, you know, he's not obligated to take a picture with me. He doesn't have to acknowledge that I'm here. Maybe he was hungry. Maybe he had to pee. Maybe he's already taken 153 pictures that day. You know, I get it. And I wasn't going to get upset about it. But it was interesting to see that people, you know, they look at cosplayers and assume that you're there for them. You know, you're there for me to look at. You're there for me to hit on. You're there to be my photo op. And the minute you're not okay with any of those things, you're just like, you know, I'm a little tired, I'm not really feeling it, they kind of turn on you. And I'm just like, why is that? I don't get that. Like,
it's like people think, well, but you put this costume on to go in the picture with me, didn't you? You know? that's the vibe I'm getting from people like that. And because not everybody's like that. And of course you can, you should ask cosplayers for pictures. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, when you see they're eating or having a conversation with other people, you know, you don't barge into somebody eating dinner like, hey, you know, you, I like your earrings. Where did you get them? You should tell me where you got your freaking earrings. And it's like, dude, I'm eating. Yeah, I don't care. I love your earrings. So you have to tell me. I don't get that.
Yeah, I tend to be pretty polite about it, where I'm usually, and I will even go so far as to let them dictate the pose. Like, I remember there was a guy who was dressed up as Raiden from Mortal Kombat, and he was pretty good at it. I know. And I went up to him and I was like, oh my God, and kind of queened out a little bit on him, and I was like, may I have a picture with you? And he's like, sure. And he was looking at me and he's like, well, how do you want to do this? And I was like, you choose. Like, I'm just happy you're here, And then he did the charge or whatever, and then I charged with him, and it was really cool. And yeah, I tend to let them decide how it goes. They're nice enough to pose with me. How do you want to be standing? How do you want me to stand? You can smile. I don't care. I try not to tell them how it's going to go down. So.
No, exactly, and I think that if you just approach him on equal footing, then there should be no problem. Because most cosplayers, at least I do, love having their pictures taken. But as long as you're not being rude or demanding about it, I think, and that's another thing. It's a common kindness to offer them to send them the picture. Because I, like I said, with the Red Sonja, the 200-300 pictures, I found six, and only one of those were sent by a photographer who told me that she was going to send them to me. And the others I'd had to look up for myself, and hours and hours and hours of scouring through people's, Flickr feeds and stuff like that, and albums on God knows where, on Photo Bucket. I was like, oh God, where's my picture? Oh Jesus. And only six of 200-300. I spend time on my costume. Great that you're taking a picture. Would you mind sending it to me? Here's my email. And if you then don't get an email with a photo, you're just like, oh, well, okay, thank you. Not ass.
Your picture is wedged in between mattresses all across the EU.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. I literally had a mother coming up to me. My son thinks you're really pretty. Do you wanna take a picture with him? And it was just like this 18-year-old or seven, I don't know, a young boy, sweaty palms. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll take a picture with you. Here, come here. And just, standing next to him, having the picture taken. I was like, oh God, I don't want to know where this picture ends up.
Cut to like 20 years from now, and he's on his third marriage, going through consecutive redheads who just can't quite embody Red Sonja the way that you can. Look what you've done.
Ruin this poor couple.
On that note, though, while I was at the convention I've talked about throughout the show, there was a booth there with a group of women who identified themselves as pixel vixens, and they were billing themselves as erotic cosplayers. I didn't like this, I freely admit it. It kind of bothered me a little bit, or a lot. What do you think of the concept of erotic cosplaying? Is it bringing a good element to the community, or do you think it's bad news?
I personally don't mind
Okay.
because, well, I think again that this is my Dutchness because we're really free in that sort of stuff. Because I've been to Amsterdam and, this sort of thing doesn't surprise me anymore.
Okay.
I think I can see why people would be bothered by it, also other cosplayers. But ultimately, I think it's the cosplayer's choice. And, the attention for a particular costume usually comes from the public. And if the public is being an ass about it, in the sense of like, oh God, look at this, how can she wear that? And it's not the character, and she's just sexualizing it, or, the complete other way, oh yeah, I love this, I'm gonna jerk off to it. Shouldn't be blaming the cosplayer for it. But what I think is a whole other matter is when a cosplayer does it for exactly that kind of attention. So if they're going to be like, oh, I'm just gonna shock people right now, and I want men the world over to masturbate to my image. Okay, also your choice, but that's not necessarily something I can get behind, if you see what I mean. Because they should be doing whatever they want to do. As for the effect it has on the community and cosplaying in general, I think that with everything in our society, sexuality is actually simultaneously a taboo and something we thrive on. So anything sex-related is going to get massive amounts of attention, whatever way you turn it. And as long as we as a society attach too much importance to the most natural thing in the world, I should add, negative or positive. And as long as we do that, you know, it always goes both ways, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
There's both positive attention, there's both negative attention. And I think there's a lot of negative attention in that there are other cosplayers who think that it's detrimental to the business of cosplaying. Because, you know, we had the recent upheaval about the planeswalkers in bikinis.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, you know, like I said, I'm perfectly okay with people wanting to be sexy and erotic versions of a particular character. Because when you watch animes, you know, nine times out of ten, there are going to be fan service episodes and stuff like that. So whatever to that. But you know, for me, it's the whole problem with, well, problem, quote unquote, with the planeswalkers and bikinis was the fact it was a lazy cosplay. They literally just put on a red bra and panties. The bra fit terribly, by the way, and a pair of goggles. And then they called it Chandra, which for me is a step too far. I'm just like, you know, because I think that's, well, detrimental is a big word, but I think that as far as cosplaying goes, you could put a little more effort into it if you want to be a sexy, erotic version of something, and not just take the proper colored underwear and call it a day. You see what I mean?
I had very mixed feelings about it because I felt like, on the one hand, I'm all for female sexuality. I'm all for male sexuality. I'm all for people owning their sexuality. So I was excited to see people going, we are here to be sexy. We are being sexy. We are in control of this raw. Very happy about that. On the other hand, though, I couldn't help but feel like you said throughout the show, it really is about showing that you love a character and that you have a passion for this character and you want to bring that character to life. And I found, like, in many of the situations, that wasn't even there. Like, for example, there was a woman who was dressed up as sexy Nightcrawler from X-Men. And, you know, you're just like, so, you know, what's your favorite Nightcrawler issue? You know, and you're like, I don't know who he is. And it's like, okay, well, what do you know about him? You know, well, he's, I just wanted to wear blue fur and make a merkin. And it's like, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to say, I'm not going to say anything like fake geek girl or anything like that. But like you said, I feel like that passion isn't there. You know, like you said, what gets you started in cosplaying and what gets a lot of people interested is that they love a character and they can identify with a character and they want to bring that to life. And it just felt like that element of it wasn't even a factor. It was, I want an excuse to wear blue fur. I'm pretty sure there's a guy out there. I don't really care about him and I'm just doing this. And had that passion been there of, oh my God, I really enjoy Nightcrawler. I think he was done really well in the movies. I really enjoy, you know, if there was a sign that there was a passion for that character and you wanted to wear a blue merkin, I'm all for it. But I just felt like that part of it was absent and then it felt very empty to me and I didn't like it. So
yeah, well, I can imagine that because, you know, because a cosplay obviously isn't just about putting on the clothes. You have to put on an act. And if you can't really put on the act, then there's going to be something lacking. I'm not saying that it's not a cosplay then, but, you know, to take it to the next level, which is also a very arbitrary statement, but that's how I see it. If you want to do that, then you kind of have to put on the act of the character and actually channel the character. So I understand what you mean there. Yeah.
Yeah. And it also felt like, especially now with more cosplayers, you know, advocating the, you know, cosplay does not equal consent. It did feel to me almost like two steps forward, one step back, where you have the one side of cosplayers that are saying we want to be treated more like people. We are not just sex objects, you know, things like that. But then you have them going, but we are sex objects. And it's just like, oh no. And I understand that. And I agree with you though, that it really is the audience driving it though. So, you know, you can try to, if the audience wants to see you as a sex object, they're going to, whether or not you like that or not. And then I sort of realized that just because these women are going for it, that doesn't mean that they're hurting the cause any, because even if they weren't there, they would probably still be people that would be looking at you guys as sex objects regardless of their influence. So I kind of dropped that argument, but that was the first thing I thought of, was I just wanted to take her by her blue shoulders and be like, you're not helping. And I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to get blue on my fingernails, but I moved on.
Well, I think in those sort of situations, it's the best, at least what I do, is focus on the positive. And, you know, even though there's going to be negative publicity and negative things in the community, just make sure that the positives always outweigh that. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can make the positives outweigh the good, the bad ones is when you actually put effort into it. You know, the whole, it's a terrible cliche, but if you want to make the world a better place, start with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you can either go around and not saying that you do, but like a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people in the cosplay community, you know, rip into a set of Assassin's Creed sexy cosplays,
mm-hmm.
which were really very well done by women who like to play the game and wanted to channel that into a slightly more erotic way. But instead of doing that and going, oh, these girls are awful and they're what's wrong with this community, you could do better by putting effort into being what you think
mm-hmm.
is a good member of the community,
mm-hmm.
i.e. somebody who loves a character, puts time and effort into their cosplays, and can channel this character, and most importantly, respects other cosplayers for what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, and you know, it's a really big thing to ask, really, and it's kind of like very... it sounds like a high horse, like I'm on a high horse, like being, oh, we should just be this and that, and then everything will be fine, which is not the case, because
right.
things are always going to suck one way or the other. But the least you can do is try to make sure that the positives outweigh the negatives, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. So the last thing I wanted to talk about, and this was a very recent development, is I have decided that I would like to cosplay.
Yay!
I know, I am scared shitless, which is why you're here. So I've decided that I want to be Ixava, Rakdos Blood Witch. This is the first character that I've ever really looked at and thought this could be me. And I don't really know, I love her fierceness. I actually really, I remember when they first even spoiled the art, when the Dragon's Maze spoilers were first coming out, and I thought she looked so ferocious and powerful, and that just really attracted me to the character. And I don't know too much about her. I don't know if she's been talked about in any of the magic books or anything, but I just looked at this and I appreciated that she seemed to be more of a healthier woman. She didn't really seem to embody the stick figures or the paper dolls that some of the other characters had looked like. And I was at work the other day and it just hit me. Like I was focusing on work things and my mind was going 100 miles a minute. And then this thought just popped in my head of, I want to do Ixava. And mm-hmm. I don't know where to begin, Sonya B. So if you were to help me with this, what do I need to do? Like, what do you think I should do? What are some tips you can give me? What are some things you think are going to be a problem with me going through this? Can I do this? Can I do this?
I think you can.
Okay.
Definitely think you can.
Okay.
The first thing, I think that you're going to need a lot of Warbla. And now I don't have any actual experience with Warbla, mostly because I've never had to work with it.
What is that?
Warbla, which is it's a sort of thermoplastic.
Okay. Now, why do you say that?
For the helmets.
Oh, okay.
Because they're helmets, you know, you obviously can't buy a helmet like that.
Damn.
Unfortunately. Well, maybe if you look in antiquities stores, maybe. But, you know, Warbla is a lightweight thermoplastic, which
okay.
is really easy to mold. You just heat it with a hair dryer
okay.
or hot water or whatever you have lying around, and then you can cut it and mold it and glue it together into basically anything you want. Sky's the limit.
Okay.
So I think you're going to need that.
Okay.
Well, you should, like I said, the best thing you can do is just break it down into parts, like
okay.
her attire, which is the bikini thing, her belt and undergarment. And her boots and the socks she's wearing underneath, I'm assuming they're socks, but they could also just be the boots.
Okay.
But to find boots that high would either require a lot of time on the internet and eBay stores, or you could be easy about it and just buy high socks or stockings.
Okay.
And dye them in the proper color.
Okay.
And the helmet and her weaponry.
Okay.
Weapons are... aside from the sword, which looks wicked, very, not very practical, but, you know, whenever she's a blood witch, she probably doesn't need a practical sword. Well, you can find the weapons in pretty much any fantasy store.
Okay.
So that's actually probably the least of your worries.
And you're advocating real weapons for this.
Yeah, if you can find them, why not?
Okay, though now we're not talking now the ones around her waist, you don't do those need to be real?
No, I don't think so.
Because I was
Not
going to say,
necessarily.
I admit that I'm not very ladylike sometimes. So when you had mentioned all the, you know, how intricate of a way you had to sit down, where you had to lift up your flap and do, no, I would be the one that would sit down and impale myself on my butt sword, and I wouldn't be able to enjoy my cheese fries in peace. So that would be,
No. They're probably not the best idea to have those as actual weapons.
Okay, so
No, but
those can be fake swords. Got it.
yeah, definitely. And even the big sword can be a fake one. You
Okay.
can I think you can make it out of Warblau, you can commission it, et cetera, blah,
Okay.
blah, blah. Let's see. Yeah, the helmet, I think what you because it has a lot of horns. It's a very horny
I'm a
helmet.
horny person, so that works out.
Okay,
Okay.
perfect, perfect. I scour around antique shops and just look around if you can find A, a helmet, and B, horns, cow horns.
Okay.
If you go to the historical Renaissance fairs and stuff like that, they actually sell horns by the dozen. I've got two or three drinking horns around here anyway.
Really? You can just buy horns.
Yes, you can.
I didn't know that. Okay.
You just yeah. Well, for me, it was a matter of just running into them like, hey, they're selling horns here. Cool, getting one. But in general, yeah, you can find horns in Renaissance fairs and fantasy festivals and even online. Just type in drinking horn and you'll get them. Maybe even if you type in horned helmet, you can, get them out.
Okay, because if I type in horny helmet, I get a totally different set of responses.
Yeah, I can
Yeah,
imagine.
yeah.
Which might be good, you never
You
know.
never know.
Like Loki's helmet, that was very horny too.
Yeah, you know, and I'm a size queen, so the bigger the horns, the better. I don't want no little horns.
No, definitely not. No, except well, if she was a guy, I'd say that she was compensating for something.
Yeah, you know. Okay, so in terms of okay, so now I'm looking at the gloves and the bracers. So that I mean, I'm assuming that needs to because you had mentioned the things that you said that you could either deal without or that aren't necessarily as important. So what would you say some of those things might be about this?
I think the chains are pretty easy to acquire. I think the hard part about the chains is actually wearing them because chains are heavy. From what I'm seeing for her gloves, on her knuckles she has these outstanding bits like mini Wolverine. If you don't find a good way to attach these to a glove, which to me sounds quite problematic, but you might find a way to do it. You could do without those, and also the other things on her glove, the little spikes. What is it? It looks like split nails or something.
Okay.
You could probably do without those. You can actually, if you can't find the exact type of glove she's wearing here, which is quite likely because it's a very distinctive shape, you can just, I feel. Get regular red leather gloves that are about, halfway down your underarm, and then possibly attach some armor with Warbla. And other than that, well, I like the wavy bits on the horns on her helmet.
Yes, the ribbons actually are what drew me in. Like I love the feeling of the flowing red. Like that's pretty badass.
Yeah, definitely. I do think it might be a problem to actually attach those to the horns. So, instead of, having to carve a ring out of the horn, you could just tie them around the horns, stuff like that. The helmet itself, well, as for me, you'd probably want a horny helmet for Exava. You could probably do without the bigger horns if that's going to be an issue. I don't know how expensive they are because they look like there need to be bull horns or like you need to spend a lot of time with Warbler making them. And the two horns themselves, because she has like six. She has two, four on the top, and then two downwards.
Right. I'm thinking
You
the
could.
booby tattoo can go. Yeah, I don't really need that. Now, what do you think about the eyes and the teeth? Like, do you recommend like false teeth, like more fangy appeal, or do you recommend red contacts or anything like that?
Yeah, well, that would red contacts, and if you can find good fangs, good quality fangs, and not the things you buy in a
Halloween store.
Halloween store. Because I invested for Stalking Vampire, I invested, well, invested, they were $13 or something, in theater fangs, which were really good. So yeah, I definitely go for fangs, and you just small ones, not actual vampire fangs. I can send you the site.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And then red contacts would be good. Though with contacts, not everybody can wear colored contacts, or at least comfortably. I can't, because my cornea is a bit difficult. But in general, if you usually you should be able to wear them. But I, well, it's a bit of a gamble if you don't know before, because you can't actually try them out and send them back if they don't work out. So that's a bit of a gamble. But so if you know what I'm trying to say is that if you can't find red contact lenses, or if they, if for some reason you can't wear them, then as long as you're fierce enough, even you can be fierce even without red
Oh,
contacts.
I'm pretty fierce.
So
I don't worry about there being a shortage of fierce at all.
good. So you could probably, if for some reason you cannot acquire them or get them, then you could do without them. And the other thing, what I would say, her shoes or boots or socks, red and white stripes, shouldn't be too hard. The other, her bikini or top, actually, whatever it is, that might be an issue, because I don't know if you can get the fabric like that. But that's a question of, you know,
Leather
trying to.
working, maybe? Like making it with leather?
Yeah, that I kind of think that would actually fit pretty well. Yeah, leather working would be really cool.
I'm in the leather. That's fine.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
See, you're
Well,
learning
that.
so much about me. I'm probing you about your cosplay history. You're learning that I'm horny and in the leather. This is going great, so.
Yeah, definitely. Best podcast ever.
Yeah,
Now
I
you.
will admit the only other thing that kind of worried me was I admit that I've gotten a little soft in my older years, and I was looking at the belly and I'm like, huh, I'm gonna need to do some crunches because I don't want to be Rakdos Bulk Witch, and I'm a little intimidated by all the skin because I don't show a lot of skin in my daily life. Like I admit that I'm sort of classic and conservative, and I don't like to. I usually don't even wear tank tops. I will wear shorts, but they're modest. And the first thing I really thought of with this is holy booty. Like
Yeah.
just so that's I think going to be a big thing for me is just showing all that midriff, all that thigh, all that junk. Like that's going to be an exercise for me, a challenge.
Yeah, well, I think that if you really want to cosplay Exava, then you know you should go for it, even if you're a bit, you know, don't have a flat a belly as flat as she does. Because you know I don't have, you know, I've been a gymnast for almost, you know, for 18 years, and I don't even have a belly as flat as Red Sonja. You know, like I said, it's if your body type's just slightly off, who gives a shit anyway? I mean, with that helmet and those swords, nobody's going to make a point out of it.
Yeah, they're probably just going to start from the top and then just be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And hopefully they won't make it to that part. Just
Yeah.
everything else will be so intimidating. They're just like, I gotta go. Like, ah. And
It's like, oh no, it's Exava,
exactly. And if someone tries to get too close or tries to get a little, psst, you're sexy. I've got my chain. Just
yeah,
raw.
yeah,
Awesome. So.
definitely. But you know what, my point about the fabrics was that if you can't get the exact fabric, then you shouldn't be deterred from creating the cosplay,
Yeah,
because
I'll
there's
admit
always,
that.
you know,
Yeah.
you can always just find another fabric that gets the same idea across,
Yeah.
because it's still going to be Exava. Maybe she just has a different wardrobe. What do you know?
Yeah, and I can see you had mentioned that earlier in the show of getting too hung up on the details, and I think that's part of my problem is there's so many things about this that I'm looking at, and it's just like, well, what if I make a bikini top and there's more red squares than black squares because she only has this many red squares, and then people are going to look at me and go, who is that? And they're not going to know it's Exava, and I failed, and just I go through this little mini meltdown, and I have to remember that, like you said, maybe there is a different wardrober because she's positioned a different way. I'm not going to be standing like that, and that there are going to be little differences, and that it's okay, and that it doesn't have to lead to that, and if I take a deep breath, it's going to be fine. And that's I have to not get hung up on that.
Yeah, because you know the thing about a cosplay is you start with the basics and then you build up on it.
Mm-hmm.
You add things. You look at it like, okay, this is a good basis, and now she just needs a little more of leather over here. So I'm just going to add a bit of leather over there, and oh, another sword here, and maybe a chain draped over my shoulder like that. Until you feel like you've channeled the character in the way you want to channel it.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
I do.
Because, you know, in the end, if you want to cosplay, then basically screw what everybody else thinks of it. It's your cosplay, and it's great that you're going to get good comments, and it sucks if you're going to get bad comments, but that's always going to happen in any sort of way. You can never please anyone, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest part of cosplaying is that you have fun, that you feel comfortable in your cosplay, and that you feel like you've done the character justice.
Amen to that. So, Sonya B., if anybody has liked what they've heard from you here, they want to get in touch with you, where can they find you? Do you blog? Do you podcast? Do you tweet? Tell us about it.
Well, I tweet a lot.
Okay.
Well, usually tweet a lot. Sometimes there's a at Regedit. I have a Tumblr blog, which is also Regedit. I also have a WordPress blog, which is idleexpectations.wordpress.com,
okay,
which is where I post some, where I'm going to post more cosplay pictures when I get them made, okay, and some stories I write. And if you really, really, really want to talk to me in more than 140 characters or Tumblr reblogs, you can always send me a DM on Twitter or wherever, and give you my email address. We can chat because okay, I like chatting.
Me too. So I didn't even know how to pronounce your Twitter name. So would you mind just spelling it for the people who may not even be able to spell it?
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's an Egyptian name, so that might account for that. So my Twitter handle is RUDJEDET.
Okay. See, there were. I actually thought it was. I thought it might have been a reference to Jedit Ojanin, which is a magic character. I was like, maybe she's, you know, Red Jedit. Maybe it's something like that. And I think I've said your name like seven different times. Like I was telling people you were coming on the show, and the first time it was like, oh, Rujeditits coming on my show, and I'm really excited. And then I would talk to somebody else, and I'd be like, Rujeditits coming on my show, and then the other time it was Rujeditits. Oh, God. And like, it just kept getting worse every time. So towards the end, it was just like, Sonya's coming on. And they'd be like, ooh. And they didn't really know. They're so used to your name. And I'd be like, Sonya's coming on my show. And someone would be like, I don't, Sonya who? And I'd be like, you know, cosplay, rigid. And they're like, oh, yeah, Regedit. And I'm like, yes, her. That's totally on my show.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Well, the actual name, because, you know, you pronounce it right, as Regedit.
Okay.
But the actual hieroglyphic name is Rujeditit.
Okay.
But that has a double DJ, so I was like, no, for the sake of Twitter, I'm not going to do that.
I used to get that all the time because when I played World of Warcraft, my character's name was Estrus, Oestrus, and there were people all the time that would screw it up. So I would get like, oysters? Oysters, are you here? And I'd be like, no. And I would get, you know, Estrus, I would get that, or I would get Ostrus. And, you know, there were people that were always screwing it up. And I remember there was one man in my guild who was Canadian, he was French Canadian, and he called me Toys R Us because he couldn't say Estrus. So he'd be like, what is Toys R Us? Toys R Us needs an innervate. And it's like, I'll be Toys R Us. That's fine. And after a while, I just let people call me O. And for a long time, people called me O, and I was O for a while. And there are a couple people who still know me as O, but I will always be Estrus. It was always fun hearing how people would say it. And there were some friends of mine who recorded a podcast intro for me where they were poking fun at my name, and they were just like, you know, Orestesur. It's like, Estrus. It's not hard. You know, Oestrus?
Estrus,
no.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was pronouncing it the Dutch way in my head, like I do with most things. So I was going, Oestrus.
It's
Which
delicious.
sounds awful.
I love it. And with your accent, you can call me anything you want, let's be
Oh, thank you.
honest.
I'm so glad. Yay! I've got privileges. Suck on that, bitches.
And so thank you very much for coming on my show. It's truly been a joy speaking with you today.
I loved it too. I had a great time. Thank you very
Awesome.
much.
And if anyone else is listening and you've enjoyed the Deck Tease, you can find me first off on legitmtg.com. Then you can find me on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Feel free to stop by and leave me a positive review. If you have any feedback for me or just want to hear what I have to say, you can find me on Twitter at Original Estrus or Oestrus for our Dutch friends. That is OriginalOestrus. Or you can reach me even more directly at my email address at estrus@elitistjerks.com. Thank you guys so much for listening, and please take care of yourselves, okay? Bye.
We don't wanna go home, but we can't have it control.